We have those things to pray about and whatever else is on your heart and the Lord moves you to pray about. But let's look into the Word before we pray tonight. And last week, as we continued looking at some of the difficult sayings in Scripture, you know that we've been looking at these things that Steve Klinge calls conundrums. We found ourselves in 1 John chapter 3 last week where he said, no one who's born of him sins, after he'd already said, and if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So we spent some time trying to untangle that. Tonight we're still in 1 John. We're coming back to him. And so John gives us at least two of these difficult sayings to sort of wrestle with. This one is not nearly as complicated, and I think you will, as we read it, you'll say, yeah, I already got this. I got this a long time ago. But perhaps it'll be encouraging to us to still discuss it. We're in 1 John chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 7 through 11. 1 John 2, verses 7 through 11. And this is where he says, "Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." A beautiful section. But the difficulty that some might have, say a new Christian or someone who has just made an effort to read through the Bible for the first time all the way through, and they come to this and they say, wait, it seems to be saying two different things. The difficulty would be that he says, I am not writing a new commandment, but on the other hand, I am writing a new commandment. And you could solve that possibly by saying, well, he's actually then writing two commandments for us, isn't he? One old and one new, and there'd be two different commandments, and we'd just have to go find what they are. And I think that you probably know better, and as you read on in this section, for instance, he's going to deal with one commandment. One specifically, it is the commandment to love one another. This is, in fact, one of the proofs of the new life that's within. And he gives us in this little letter several ways to test the reality of our faith and say, well, is it sincere? Is it genuine? Have I really touched the hem of Jesus' garment? Has this power really come to me? Do I have new life in me? And it's one of those things that is not necessarily verifiable outwardly, but there are some inward tests. And he gives them to us, one of them being, do we love the brethren? Is something happened in us that creates a love for the family of God, like you've experienced, hopefully, in your earthly family? Now, what your neighbors see in your brother, they may not know, but you see something in him. And because of that, you love him. And it's the same thing in Christ Jesus, only better and stronger. We see our Heavenly Father in each other. We see the image of Jesus in one another. We experience the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, one with the other. And it's enriching. It's thrilling. And it's purest, it's absolutely thrilling that God has done this in his people. And this is what he's saying. This is the commandment that we love one another. All right. And he describes it there in verses 9. And 10, the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother, well, he's in the darkness until now. Can you hear that man saying, all right, now who's my neighbor? You're supposed to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, it says he wanted to justify himself. Well, then who's my neighbor? You know that Samaritan down there? He was acting the part that you're refusing to do. Anyway, verse 10, the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. All right, then. That being the commandment that John is saying, it's this and it's that, it's not new, and it is new. What does he mean when he says that it's old? How did he put this? I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment. How is this old? Where is it stated? What does the Lord ask of his people? And you don't have to go there, but I can give you the reference. It's way over in the book of Leviticus. And it's there in the 19th chapter. And this is what God said through Moses. And if you remember the book of Leviticus, this is the place in all the scripture where the Lord says more frequently than any other place, I am the Lord. As if he's saying, now this is what you're to do, and this is the one that's telling you, I'm the Lord. Well, what does our verse say? Verse 18 of Leviticus 19. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. He is underlining that verse in their hearts, isn't it? This isn't Moses saying this. This isn't Aaron conceiving of this or Miriam singing about this. God is saying this to his ancient people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This was what every Jew would hold in his heart as best he could if he was a God-fearing Jew towards his fellow Jew. I'm to love him as myself, and the Lord has commanded me so. Now, Paul will refer to this himself, the old commandment. And listen to what he says in the book of Romans. He says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And he starts quoting them. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So says Paul as he looks back at Moses' statement in Leviticus. This has been with us since we have been a nation. We're to love our neighbor. And that fulfills, really, Paul says, when you think about it, it just sort of encapsulates everything. If you do this one thing, you'll find yourself doing all these others. So that's what he means by, I'm writing to you an old commandment. I'm writing this to you, he says, which you've had from the beginning is the word which you have heard. Now then, what does he mean when he says it's new? If it's the same commandment, how is it new? Well, I think John is here agreeing with our Lord Jesus, who in the upper room said this. Let's see if I can find where he said this. He said, a new commandment I give to you. He has just washed their feet and given them a shining example of what he was trying to teach them. And then he says, I'm going to give you something new. And you're thinking, oh, we better write this down. We knew that there were 613 commandments. Here comes 614. No. I'm going to give you a new commandment. What? That you love one another. Wait a minute. That's not new. That's not new. And so so does our student. The neophyte Bible student looks at that and looks at John and says, no, wait, that's not new. I've read Leviticus already. I've read Paul in Romans. What's he mean? It's new. Well, what else does John say? I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him. And there it is, isn't it? This is a new commandment that's true in him. And I think that's clear enough that Jesus, with his coming, he began to reveal things to us that we'd never seen. He explained to us what love is. It's after meeting the risen Lord of Calvary that Paul could write 1 Corinthians 13 and what love really was. He could write that because he had met the one who is love. So anyway, you think of the Lord walking around and explaining things to people, and he says, now you've heard it said that you should not murder. And I say to you, what? That if you hate your brother in your heart, you're already guilty of it. You're guilty of murder in your heart. That there is something that's in your heart taking place. And the same thing with coveting or lusting. If you look for something and lust for it, whatever, a woman perhaps. But no, you would never commit an act of theft or an act of adultery. But the heart's gone wandering. And when our Lord begins to say these things, he's laying down a law that is so convicting. And what he's doing is revealing to us what's in the law of Moses. And this was his whole ministry. You've heard it said, let me say to you. This is what Moses said, and this is your mechanical interpretation of it by the lawyers and the scribes and the Pharisees. But I say to you, so we know our Lord's teaching ministry and how he went about, I wanted to say expanding the law or deepening our understanding of the law, but really what he's doing, he's revealing the heart of it. He is opening up our eyes to see the heart of what God was saying, what God meant when he wrote those things on those two tablets and gave them to Moses and said, now, tuck this away and read this ever so often. This is how I want you to live. And so it was with the old law of love. They thought, well, I'm supposed to treat my brother like I would like him to treat me. And it's a beautiful rule. It's just, you might say it's golden. But our Lord says, no, I want you to carry it further. I want you to love like I have loved you. Let me find this again in John. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And what that means is laying down the life. This is how he loved us. He humbled himself. He submitted to the Father's will. He walked among us meek and lowly. We spoke last Sunday about he didn't open his mouth. His voice wasn't heard. He was gentle as a lamb that was led to slaughter. And he did all of that, not because he didn't have a voice or didn't have anything to say, but because he wouldn't do what men would have done. He did what God wanted him to do. And in this act, it was ultimately sacrificial for you, for me. Praise God for that. It's sacrificial love. And I think this is what John says, it's true in him. This new law, you shall love, is true in him, John says. And so we see it manifested, displayed, revealed in him. We see it acted out in him. And then the Spirit of God puts us into him, and we find that coming into us. Is that not so? It's if we are in him, the vine, then that sap is going to be running through us, the branch. And what's going to be the result? Fruit. That's just John 15. And so the Spirit puts us in him, and that starts to be true of us as it was him, or and as it is him. Then, back to our little lesson there, our section in 1 John, he says, I am writing a new commandment which is true in him and in you. Ah, now that's interesting. It's true in you. He goes on to say the darkness is passing away, the true light is already shining, and he says you are tasting of this. But I think as we examine what happened at Pentecost, we begin to get some sense of what John, I think, was hinting at in this section. Oh, where is it? It's in the book of Acts. That's where Pentecost is, isn't it? And so over there, Acts chapter 2, we find this. John sums up, Luke sums up what happened after the Spirit fell, after conviction gripped the town, after there was a move of repentance among the Jews, after all the different nations that were there for Pentecost heard the preaching of the gospel, and 3,000 were added to the church that day. And he starts giving us a little thumbnail sketch of what's going on in that infant church. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. Now that's interesting, isn't it? And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Well, that's what the communists wanted to establish. They wanted that. Oh, they wanted that. If we enforce this, this will be utopia. This will be heaven on earth. It's hell on earth if God doesn't do it by the Spirit. You don't enforce this from above. You bring it to fruit from within and from below. It comes up, and it wells up in the hearts of men. And there is this God-given love because they're now walking in the light, as John said. And so day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, and you sense this, since one man calls it family. It's a relationship that's rich, it's strong, it's sweet, it's God-given, it is infectious, it is contagious. And they're breaking bread with one another, going from house to house. They're taking their meals together with gladness and with sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And it says, the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And what this good man said, who called this a family-like relationship, was there was something so beautiful, something so pure, something so glorious that had never been seen on this earth. But you get glimpses of it in ancient Israel, and especially as they walk through the wilderness and God was with them in the pillar of fire and cloud, and there they were marching as a unified army and as basically a content people. You got a glimpse of it, but here's the utter reality of it. And the hearts of the people are just aflame with love to Jesus, love to God the Father, love to God the Holy Spirit, and love to one another. It's true in you, John said. It's true in him, and it's true in you. Jesus comes and displays to us as he walks this earth the love of God the Father and the love of his own heart. And he lives before men, and what is true in him is seen by everyone. And then after Pentecost, the nations began seeing this infant church, and look at these people. One old Roman said, look how they love one another. It's just amazing. And our good teacher friend said, this is what made people start asking questions. We barrage young Christians our days and make them feel guilty if they're not witnessing. We tell them, go ask these certain questions and lead them into a discussion about Christ. That may be all right. He said, but that's not the New Testament example. The New Testament example is life in the church that the outside world looks at and says, explain this to me. Where do you come up with this? How do you get this? Why do you feel this way? And Peter says, that's the open door. And you can explain the hope that you have and the love that you have and the joy that you have in Christ. God did this, they would say. Christ did this, they would say. It's true in him. And thanks be to God, it's true in us. Now that's the family that you see there in Acts chapter 2 and going on. And it's the influence that they're having on society. Well, all right. Well and good. And may the Lord re-establish this among the churches again. But then what do you do when the new wears off? Every revival has come to an end. They run their course, and then the major influence of it is over. And it's in some ways, it's disappointing. Of course, you're glad beyond all expression that God has come and done what only God can do. And then he leaves, as it were. He withdraws something of his manifest presence. And the church is left to walk in the afterglow of what God has done. Jeff and I bumped into each other last night. We were talking about what God did in the 70s. You remember the Jesus movement? He said, we are running on that still. He's true. It's like the bread that Elijah ate and it carried him for 40 days. We have had bread from heaven that's carried us for 40 years. Now we want more, and the world needs more. It needs to see more. But what do you do when the new wears off and that sense of love begins to wane a bit? That's when you're grateful that it's not just a suggestion in the scripture. It's a commandment. A new commandment, which is true in him and in you. I am writing this to you, John would say. And then you realize, all right, when I give myself to this, I may not feel it like I once did, but I will do it. And we hope a God-honoring way and obedience to the scripture. He says, the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. So, it's both new and old. It's old because it's been with us from the beginning. It's new because Christ makes all things new. And let's just pray when we do pray that he'd make us new men and new women.